She said two things when I went in. First of all, she stopped me saying Professor Hodgkin. Said, "You must call me Dorothy, I believe. Were you in this laboratory? We follow the American custom. So please call me Dorothy, Guy." Which I immediately found very easy to do. And then she said, "Right, now you must come and meet the lab." And she went down the lab and she said, "This is Guy, he's come from New Zealand. And I'm just taking him around the lab to see what he wants to work on." Now, we had already agreed we were working on insulin. And I still don't understand why she took this line. So I went to all the labs to see what they were doing. And introducing each one of them, looking for something to do. And when I went back to the room, she said, "Well," she said. I said, "Well," I said, "I came over wanting to do insulin. That's what I want to do." "Fine," she said. "I've no idea what happened." She said, "I want to work on B12. I strongly suspect." She said, "Well, fine." I've never asked her why she gave me this option, which I never asked for, and which I assume I wasn't even entitled to, because the Rockefeller was to work on insulin. Mm-hmm. But she may have had other money. I think she probably did.
So who else was there when you arrived?
I remember that there was Margaret Adams. Eleanor had been there for some weeks, so she was a relative newcomer. Marjorie Harding, obviously, was probably the major figure apart from Dorothy. She was a clever woman, very thoughtful and highly intelligent woman, who worked closely with Dorothy for 4 or 5 years. She was her student and everything, and had a view of Dorothy that I didn't have, because she came to her as an undergraduate. She was astonishingly beautiful, looked like something out of Vogue. Very, very formal, very correct, and extremely good. I mean, just one of those people who just missed out, really, because her husband took her away.
Oh, that's why she left?
Yeah, he went up to a lectureship in Edinburgh, and she left him to go with him. And she worked all her life on a part-time, half-acknowledged basis, and never complained. And she's very good, very, very good. But different breaks, she'd have been a big figure. So there was Marjorie, a lovely called Gwen Humphreys, who was a Welsh nationalist, spoke Welsh, she was a lovely, lovely, crazy person. I liked her a lot. Somebody called Sabina Cole, who was very English and an interesting person. And I think Eleanor got her job, to be fair. I think she's having children. And there's somebody called Anne Tench, so they know she wasn't there when I arrived. Now I'm starting to fumble. We'll move to people uncertain others coming. Ken Watson was there. Somebody called David Dale. A lovely Indian called Venkatesan, who was quite exceptional. Carol Saunders, as she then was, now called Carol Hoover in Canada. Roger Diamond. And then there's Frank Welch, you probably know that name. And then there was Tiny Powell and his students. One of them was called Bob Mays, about which I would say more if the tape recording wasn't going. And I remember him, for he was the first English public school person I ever met. And he was straight out of your textbook, actually. He was very nice. He meant well, and I had no difficulty with him, but he was unbelievably trapped man. What a culture.